B-Pod Studios.
Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, the Patriots are busy this morning. They have just signed tackle Trent Brown, so he'll be back this year with the Patriots. They also have Malcolm Butler and Leonard Fournette in for tryouts this morning. Celtics winners in Denver last night, 124-104. They're back in action tonight in Oklahoma City. That game can be heard on 105.7 WROR at 8 p.m. At the NCAA tournament, Duke, Arizona, Villanova, Texas Tech, and Purdue, also Miami, all on to the Sweet 16, while the Red Sox made a free agent splash, signing all-star infielder Trevor Story for 6 years, $140 million. And today is the NHL trade deadline. It's at 3 p.m. Bruins play in Montreal tonight. Patrice Bergeron will miss this one. All the coverage here on 98.5 The Sports Hub begins at 6:30. Headlines are brought to you by AdCare Hospital and 1-800-ALCOHOL. Speak up, reach out, get help. Asking for help takes courage. Be recovery strong. Visit AdCare.com or call 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Joe Murray. Your next update's at 9:30.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, obviously some teams were aggressive. You know, Calgary got out in front of some of the things they were doing. I don't know if I would call... We gave up a lot for Hampus, so I wouldn't say it's reasonable. I think we met what the ask was in order to acquire the play that we were looking for, and that's generally what drives the deals.
Like, we only play against them twice a year, but I've been in the league long enough now that I've played them a bunch of times. I feel like they've always had that kind of, like, grit to them. They play like a fun style of hockey, but still with that kind of winning mentality.
Nick Jamali spending the weekend on the vineyard at his buddy's house.
Well, I mean, nobody's there, so it's kind of, as someone who had to live on one of those islands for a while, March is called like the angry month, I think. It's where everyone just has had enough and people just get pissed at each other. It's truly called the angry month down there. March is, the winter's been hell, and there's been, everything's closed.
And the sea turns into a naughty mistress.
It does. You turn into the guys from the lighthouse. You start going a little insane. So I'm sure you probably got, you know, a place that would have cost 10 times more during the summer.
No, it's Nick's buddy's place.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was just the crew hanging out, breaking windows, just going around. All right. Billy Jaffe, you know him from his time in Ness and also his Morning Brew podcast. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Today is the last day. It's the trade deadline in the NHL. The Bruins made a big splash, Billy. What did you think of it?
Big deal. Yes, they got a physically big defenseman and a big return gave up for him. Good morning, guys.
How are you? Good morning.
Big day. I think it's going to be pretty active today. You know, with regard to Hampus Lindholm, being able to sign him to an extension, pretty important. Now you've got two guys that between Charlie McAvoy and Hampus that for the next 7-8 years, you hope, let's just even look for the next 4 or 5 years, can each play 22 to 24 minutes a night, whether you play them together or separate. In theory, you've got one of those two guys on the ice for 80% of the game, if not more, in big games.
So, do me a favor, big move. For those people who haven't been watching Anaheim Ducks hockey, can you describe this guy's play and compare him to maybe somebody that, you know, Bruins fans would be mostly familiar with?
Well, he's 6'4", 217, 20 pounds. He's no question legit top four defenseman. He's a guy, and I've talked to a couple of guys that know him well. I mean, I know his game, watched him for the 8 years he's been in the league, but talking to former coaches of his, people involved in management and that know him well, because I wanted to ask a few questions. They say, you know, he's a legit shutdown type guy, especially with a guy, whether it's like a McAvoy or a Carlo, because of his skating and his reads, can shut down other teams' power forwards. Do not expect Rich him to be a monster beast out there that's going to, you know, drop the mitts and crush guys. He's more about physically containing than he is crushing. He can eat minutes. he's playing less this year. He's playing with a younger, very young guy. I do look at his numbers, his analytics this year per se, and even last year, as the Anaheim Ducks have gone in a different direction than they did in the first 4 years when he was there. He's got some sneaky offense to his game. He's not a number one power play guy, but could you use him on a number two power play? Sure, you could. He punches pucks through well. What he's really going to do is he's going to help slot other defensemen into the right spot big time. And again, you can play him with McAvoy, and you can have two guys that will be a mega pair, or you can play him with Carlo. I think he's if you want to compare him to somebody, I mean, he's a left-handed version. When I say a version of Carlo, Brandon hasn't had a consistently good year this year. I would say it's been up and down, but he's got a little more closing on guys, and he's got a little more read on guys. But that type of player. I went to a guy that coached him a bit, knows him well, and spoke nothing but like this is a big get for the Bruins. Nothing but glowingly for Hampus.
All right, because if you look at some of the writing about it, his analytically, I guess his game has declined a little bit.
The last 2 years, there's no question. Yeah, Freddie, you're right. And when I say decline, the numbers aren't as good. But, I mean, two or three years ago, Fred, he started in the D zone over 62% of the time. And that was by far the most he did. But the Ducks changed from a team that had a lot of competent players to going young and youth, and they said, we're going to just put you out there. And I'm not saying it's unfair. It was just the situation that he was put into.
So does this set up more moves to be made?
Yes.
What are you predicting today is going to happen before the deadline?
I'd be shocked if the Bruins don't add another depth defenseman. Ideally it would be a right shot, but I could see them getting a veteran defenseman to add to this 6-7-8 mix for this team, a guy that's had some experience in the playoffs before. You can think about a guy like a DeHaan from Chicago, a Letty from Detroit, a Braun from Philly, that type of thing. And I can't imagine that they wouldn't try hard to get a middle six forward. I know a lot of people are writing about ideally a number two center. I don't know if that's realistic. Rich, we've had this conversation now for 8 weeks. What happens with Jake DeBrusk? I'm sure you've already talked about it at least a little bit this morning. If they feel that they can get a middle six forward that can play center wing, but they can't figure out a way to get another right winger for Patrice Bergeron's line, then I think they keep Jake. If they can figure out a bigger deal and they can move Jake and either get a higher draft pick back for him and then utilize that to flip for another right wing, then they'll do that. But I'd be very surprised if they don't pull off two more deals today, especially given the arms race that has become the Atlantic Division, given what Florida, Tampa, and in what Toronto tried or did last night, too.
All right, so Fluto Shinzawa is a little nervous about DeBrusk sticking around. He's not sure if his attitude might change if he knows he's going to be a Bruin for the rest of the season.
Okay, I mean, if that's Fluto's, if you're asking,
do you share that opinion?
No, I don't. What I would be concerned about Fred is, Jake is really noticeable and that other times isn't. And is that maybe part of his personality on the ice? I mean, to me, I don't think he's going to have a bad attitude being around Patrice, Brad, those guys. I think they'll have my guess is they'd have a talk with him and just say, listen, man, it's going to get taken care of. It will absolutely get taken care of this summer. But in the meantime, if you want to get the most money with your next contract and get a good trade to a good place, let's go. Let's you're riding shotgun with us. Let's go. Let's keep it up in that regard. The thing that I'd be more concerned about is at the times that he's just not playing enough interior hockey. That's when he's not inside the dots, Fred.
All right. Do you see what does the league think about DeBrusk? Is this going to be?
There's some interest. The biggest thing, I've said it before on your show, the biggest thing is it's the qualifying offer that he is going to require if you don't reach a newer, let's say a 2 or 3 year deal with him for less money. It's a $4+ million. I think it's $4.4 million QO. And that's what people are more most hesitant about. I talked to people around, I talked to two other people around the league or texted with them last night. And that was, you know, that's the thing. It's there is interest. There definitely is interest in Jake DeBrus, but the QO is the bigger is the biggest thing that they're going to have to deal with.
All right. So does this move the needle to you? Like when you see this brand new signing of Lindholm, and let's say they were to bring in somebody who, you know, could possibly, I guess it all, that all depends on that.
It's just a lame answer. Let me see who they bring in. Sorry, Rich, for a lame answer, but
I get it.
It does. It helps move. It starts moving the needle. How about that? It moves. But am I ready to say that they've done enough just yet to compete with the other big boys? I mean, we know they're going to play a Tampa, a Florida, or I guess a Carolina. It all depends on where they finish in their next, 20 games or so, or 20 games. You know, if you go out and you get another, I'd love some girth on the back end. I'd like that depth guy. A little snarl, sure. And if they get a middle six guy, let's see how it plays out. I mean, can you massage the lines a bit and feel pretty good about him? Yeah. I mean, if we talk on either tomorrow or Wednesday, I'll have a much more, hey, I think they've done enough to compete, or I'm not sure if they've done enough to compete answer for you, just given the unknown of today until 3 p.m. Eastern.
God, they have 20 games left.
Yeah, I know.
It's the longest season ever.
Well, but remember, it was supposed to be a three-week Olympic break, and we were going to be off, and everybody was going to be gone. And instead of being done April 8th, we're done April 28th.
Do the playoffs start in May? Is it all the way in May?
They moved everything back 3 weeks this year due to the Olympic break. So we were supposed to, you know, usually you start playoffs give or take April 10th.
Yeah,
and now we're starting May 2nd, given the 3 weeks that we were supposed to be off due to the Olympics, but also then COVID shut the league down for 2.5 weeks.
So the Stanley Cup Finals is like September, right?
October of 20. No, it's going to be I believe the last
the same, Game 7's opening night.
it could be July. I'm not kidding you.
It could end in July, right? No, it's June.
Because Stanley Cup Final, doesn't it usually end like around the second week in June? Or isn't
that? But what they're going to do is they're going to truncate the playoffs just a bit. I guarantee you, you'll see a couple of series that have back to back games. You know, back to back nights. I believe it's like June 26th. I don't have my calendar. June 25th, 26th, 27th. The last day for the Stanley Cup. But then they are getting it done before July.
All right. Well, listen, Billy Jaffe, good on you for using the term girth during this conversation.
Well, when he said girth in the back end, I immediately looked over at Wallach and saw that he wasn't here.
Yeah.
I thought he might have gotten excited.
Very much so. All right, Billy Jaffe, watch him on Nest and listen to the podcast, Morning Brew.
We have a trade deadline show, by the way, at 2:30 today, live on Nesson. So you can join us. And then the Bruins Montreal tonight.
All right.
So if you want to talk hockey and Bruins, we'll be talking it at 2:30. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. See you, man. Do the same. All right. We have more of the great and hyped up Sammy Hagar.
Oh, you pulled some more?
Okay, yes. On his Rock and Roll Express ride with Guy Fieri and Maynard James Keenan from Tool. If you don't know what we're talking about, it is coming up right on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
More Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This son of Dan and Rick Flair and Nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This summer you might be all night. Watch hockey.
It could be. Seeing the playoffs start in the middle of May.
It'll be warm. Good luck keeping that ice together.
It's one of the like underrated feelings, going to a hockey game wearing shorts.
Yeah.
It's not even just the feeling of just the, when you're wearing shorts and you're at a hockey game, it means your team's doing well.
And you get a little shrinkage when you get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the cold weather. All right. If you missed earlier in the show, we discussed, I've actually seen this. Rich has finally become a fan, and it is a little show by our guy, Sammy Hagar.
So your man Sammy Hagar here on another rock and roll road trip. This time we're headed out to Jerome, Arizona.
That's the craziest I ever heard.
So that gives you an idea where Sammy's at.
She just be called Sammy Takes Nitrous, the TV show.
Yeah, Sammy's on some sort of speed situation.
And you got some pizza this week.
So it's Sammy, his friend Guy Fieri,
and they're Fieri.
Fieri,
yes, Fieri, like Eddie and the Cruisers, Fieri.
And they're going to see a guy who is known for his upfrontness and his charisma, Mr. Maynard James Keenan from the band Tool.
So much so that he hides in the shadows even during his concerts.
Yes, he's become, Maynard James Keenan thinks himself a brilliant artist.
He is a brilliant artist.
Yeah, even more than you think he is, he thinks he is. All right, but nonetheless, so they're out at their winery.
Yes, over at the Cadaceous Vineyards.
Now, Mike, is this while they're at the winery or is this while they're in the air getting to the winery? Okay, so it is Sammy Hagar. Now, you have to remember, Sammy Hagar is belted into a seat. They're not on a plane. They just had to belt him into a seat. No, but he's belted into a seat on the airplane, and Guy Fieri is next to him, belted into a seat. Mm-hmm. And it's just the two of them. Our understanding is it's the two of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, again, Guy Fieri wears sunglasses on the back of his head. He's got terrible tattoos. He yells, "Winner, winner, chicken dinner." And Guy Fieri is looking at Sammy Hagar like something's really wrong with Sammy Hagar, which means something is really wrong with Sammy Hagar when Guy Fieri believes that. Here we go.
Yeah, and we're just going to do some stupid that's all, folks. We're just going to do some stupid Are you in? Guy, can I count on you?
I can't get out, and I didn't bring a parachute.
No, you... Now... Guy, I do have a thing that I do at the end of my show, but what if I do it in the beginning?
Okay.
Because this is, first of all, that I'm doing two interviews in one day.
Red.
It's called This or That. Okay. Now, you can't say both. You can't say well under these conditions.
Oh, this, I already don't like
yes, thank
any of
you.
This.
I mean, the forced laughter.
What was the abadi-abadi-abadi at the beginning?
Because he messed up and he's reflecting on his comic icons, Looney Tunes. When left to improvise, he falls back on the greats of the Looney Tunes.
Van Halen or AC/DC?
AC/DC.
Emeril or Bobby Flay?
Thanks a lot. That's bullshit.
Okay, he'll take bullshit. Okay, burgers or tacos? Ooh, Rolls Royce or Bentley?
Rolls.
Boom, he's got a roller, baby.
Which is a little frustrating. When you see the two of them and you realize they both probably have Rolls Royces and Bentleys.
Multiple.
And the IQ between them seems to be about 5. That is what there is something wrong in the world.
Fieri seems like an RP. He doesn't seem dumb.
Again.
He's like a smart guy.
Again, if it's Guy Fieri, Maynard James Keenan, and Sammy Hagar in a room, I'm taking Guy Fieri every time.
Right.
But it is a little frustrating when they're like rolls about, which is, by the way, speaking right to Sammy's audience, because Sammy, everyone knows Sammy Hagar fans are the very upper crust. He's playing all the Met Galas and things of that nature. If I'm saying Sammy Hagar, I'm keeping it to beer at the beach bar. I don't know if I'm going letting everyone know I'm flying around in a Bentley.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Blonde or brunette?
Blonde.
Yeah, you got to kick out of that.
Ow, ladies, I heard you.
Again, if you were a lead singer of a band in the 80s, it just doesn't leave you.
He is 72 years old.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he was like 40 when he was in Van Halen. He was in his 40s.
Oh, yeah.
So he's 72. He looks great. But I can't help but think that maybe something's pushing his system to...
Right. Just wondering if it's all natural.
Yeah. Because he is, as hyped up as a man can get.
His skin looks like all he does is eat, like, raw meat. Like, I don't know...
Or beets.
It is, like, I don't think the blood flow is anything to brag about with this gentleman.
No. But then again, he has a 3-lock box.
I feel like it's like Bloody Marys for breakfast.
You know, I mean, he looks red.
Guy's 72 years old. I don't know how much he can do. I think, you know, a lot of this might be a put on, but he's going at 100 miles an hour right now.
Blonde or brunette?
Blonde.
Fine dining or dive dining?
Dive dining.
Yeah, he got a kick out of that. No idea what he's laughing at.
Can I have that sample for when eventually Big Baby does come in?
So
we can have a laugh track for his jokes?
Yeah, so if you just want to do other things about things that don't ever happen, like when we interview the president, can we have this?
Or maybe when Pasta Joe comes in. And well, Pasta Joe will be in and he'll tell his jokes and he'll be like...
Dive dining.
You let me off on one.
You can't make enemies.
So if I ask you the same questions, blondes or brunettes?
Blonde.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Burger or taco?
Taco.
See, I think you wrote your own questions. I think you wrote your own questions.
How do you think
thought
I
you
do
were it? Writing them for me, but you wrote your own questions.
That's the only way to do it, baby, right? You got to know what you would want to ask.
That's funny. That's funny.
Bam.
Yeah, he is on another planet. There is a look of a mild concern on Guy Fieri's face as Sammy continues to carry on.
Why do I have a feeling Sammy Hagar goes from 60 to 0?
He just runs out of batteries.
Oh, slow.
Yeah.
It just hits his head on a counter.
Like he's like narcoleptic. Like, Sammy's going down. All right. Sammy's fuel. His fuel gauge is always pinned, and then it just goes down to 0, and then...
What was that?
But that might have been Joe. Okay.
I don't know what that was.
That might have been Joe checking
out. I hit the counter so hard, my monitor went off.
I don't know. It was very rare, because I barely ate this weekend, so I wanted something to eat, so I got Chick-fil-A, and Joe turning down Chick-fil-A. Only Lockhart and I eating the Chick-fil-A.
Love Chick-fil-A breakfast.
But you turned it down.
I've learned that I can't eat in the morning until the show is over.
No.
I will fall asleep.
But Joe, you were picking away at a muffin. You just said no to Chick-fil-A.
I went with a muffin over the Chick-fil-A, yeah.
I mean,
I lost some weight in Hawaii. Maybe it's just, I don't know, hasn't come back yet.
You're on an all-weed diet?
Yeah, I've been lately, yes.
He's got that Hawaiian smoke now.
Which he says is good stuff, right?
Dude, it is the most incredible weed I've ever had in my life. It's like you never go down. You're just always high.
Right, yeah. And you got some pizza this week.
We actually mic'd up Joe in Hawaii.
Oh, that shave ice, though? Like, you know how you got me
that going? That was just a left turn there, that shaved ice, though.
I was going to say, like, onion rings and french fries and beefs. It's that shaved ice. We got our beefs, bro. Garlic shrimp.
So when you're in Hawaii, like, how much of the day is spent planning what meals you'll have?
So you always do breakfast first, go to the pool, beach, whatever. Maybe come back for lunch.
But is there a lot of thought that goes into it?
No, it's where are we going for dinner. You know?
Well, that's when you're sitting down and making it happen?
Yeah, I start Googling, looking at the map, mm-hmm. what's nearby.
How long is that process for you during the day?
Just while you're on the beach or at the pool.
Right.
So it's just, you know, I'm there for like 5 hours, so.
Right. So by the time you get to where you're going, you know.
Oh, I know. When I get out of that chair, I know where I'm going.
You know where you're going, you know where you're getting.
That's right. No, I know how I'm going to dress. Yeah, I don't know if you guys are like that, but if I'm going to eat a lot, I'm letting it loose. I'm wearing it loose, too.
Yeah.
How many Hawaiian shirts did you pack for the trip?
I think there were like 14 of them. Okay. I was there for, I had a bunch. I even took some home, too.
Did you buy some while you were there?
Yeah, got a bunch of Hawaiian stuff.
You and
my cousins have a Hawaiian line that it's called GRN, the green.
And,
it's great.
They give you some free merch?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, though. Yeah, you know how I say bankroll boy sizes? They have a lot of bankroll boy sizes out there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a...
Lemon's good out there.
Polynesian, Samoan community out there.
Samoan community, I mean, everyone knows. It's they're large
very
people.
Large. And I actually watched like live football happening. I don't know if it was semi-pro or they were monsters. When I tell you, like, they looked, I don't want to call them sumo, they were huge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was just like, wow. It was the middle of Waikiki. I'm watching like live football happening. Like people on the ground getting up and smashing each other's heads.
Now, were they fast?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like bowling ball.
Fast. Okay. Wow.
Knocking everybody over. Oh, yeah. Like 280-pound running backs.
Did you think about getting in?
I would have got, no.
Be considerate for a moment, and then you had to get back to where they were going to eat.
No, because I'll tell you, like, anyone who ever put a helmet on in their life, they would play in an NFL snap just to get crushed. Like, feel it, and then that's it. I would do that. Not at this age, no, but.
I wouldn't do that.
No, but not even in your like teens or 20s.
No. No, I've been in a demolition derby before, but being hit by an NFL like a linebacker
like a
or something.
Linebacker, like no. You're a fullback.
I remember in a million years no.
I remember being like 26 and that I was at a restaurant where a high school football team came in and I was like, if I played high school football right now, I would destroy all these kids. Now I don't feel that way. Now they all seem big to me, but when I was like 25, 26, like I'm taller than these kids.
Yeah. But there was a time in all that we thought we were invincible.
Yes.
Like, I swear, I would, if Vince Wilfork was like, I'm coming after you, let's do it, bro. Just kill me. Like, I loved it. I just would love to just feel it.
If Vince Wilfork hit either one of us right now, how many bones would be broken? Like, he would just shatter us.
We'd be concussed.
He'd shatter us.
It would depend on if he landed on you or not.
I'm talking even with full pads on.
Okay, full pads, does he get a running start or yes. Is he lining up?
Okay, let's say that you are 5 yards away. He gets a 5-yard head start.
Trent Brown is 6'8", let's just call it 400 pounds. It says 3 and change. No. That man would pancake me into the ground. My jersey would probably have my name on the ground.
Just think about, Fred, the fall, if you're on your back, of Wilfork landing on you.
That's what I said. If he lands on you, it's a whole different situation.
Well, I mean, I guess that would complete the tackle, wouldn't it?
If he hits you and you just kind of pop off of him.
Even then.
It would be highly unpleasant. I'm just talking about the breaking bones. But if he wrapped you up and, like, drove into you, I think the chances of you catching a full breath...
Yeah, you get the wind
within the next. Yeah, which is the scariest feeling in the world.
Okay.
And so that would definitely happen, especially if you landed on top of the ball. Like if you had a ball in your hands.
Yeah. Whenever you go for a fumble and a hitch or
right, and it's right in your diaphragm, and then everyone jumps on top of you, and you like can't breathe. That's the worst feeling ever. So yes, I think that Vince Wilfork. Now, if Vince Wilfork was on a field, I don't know what he looks like now. I wonder, and I understand at one point he was quick, but very I wonder close. If you could just. Run back and forth, and who loses their breath first?
He'll get you.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's not removed enough to where he's like Antoine Walker,
and again,
where he's just like given up.
Well, I mean, look at Charles Barkley during those telecasts. I mean, Charles Barkley's gigantic.
Yeah, he's huge. He's huge.
I mean, he just doesn't care. I mean, Charles Barkley is fat.
That is the life, though.
Charles Barkley's got. Charles Barkley has the greatest life ever. Charles Barkley, no one can tell him what to do.
And he doesn't even have to, like, try. He's just naturally good at being honest about not trying.
Yeah.
Did you see him filling out his bracket the other night? It was, like, last night he was he doesn't even know how to do a bracket properly.
His analysis of the Michigan State-Duke game at halftime was worthless. I mean, there was no point.
Well, if Michigan State can score more,
yeah,
I think I saw this.
Yeah.
Maybe Duke will have a hard time.
It was like, all right, maybe Charles doesn't talk about this game. Like,
no, that's bad. He does not watch college basketball.
No.
He's betting on the games. I absolutely know he is.
Well, I think we already talked about this, is that you would have to have some action on the games to keep yourself interested. But, like, if you're a fan of one of the teams, that's when – and the thing is, no one is, right? Like, the general public isn't fans of these teams.
Unless you're one of, like, the top couple seeds.
You know, I'm a big Michigan State fan. And so, like, when Charles Barkley was talking, I'm like, all right, well, he doesn't need to be talking. He has absolutely no idea what he's talking about. It's evident. But, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, like Joe said, you know, if you're going to just do Kismo Town, so if you're just going to do a, you know, if you're just going to roll it out there, you know.
See, momentum goes a long way. And if
but
you look,
Duke has more talent if you just roll the ball out there.
Is that the most phoned intake? Momentum is a big thing. Momentum is real.
But you should watch Clark Kellogg, though, who knows college basketball.
Yeah, well, he's the guy that's not. It was Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson, and Charles Barkley, and then Clark Kellogg. And yeah, Clark Kellogg is the one guy there that watches college basketball.
And he's like, well, as you know, Charles, you got to box out, really. You know, he like really doesn't want to make the guys feel. And all Kenny Smith can talk about is North Carolina.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's, that's it.
And then Charles Barkley, it was funny because they were talking about everyone wants a guy who can jump out of the gym. And Kenny Smith was like, yeah, you know, my brother used to always say, you know, you jump over the gym, jump over the gym. I didn't realize there was a door I could go through. So talking about playing below the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to sell the college game, which is definitely not the NBA game. It is much more stuck to the ground if you look at some of these great players. All right. I mean, there's dudes on Villanova. The best player on Villanova, I don't know if he can dunk.
Gillespie?
Yeah.
He's like literally limping around.
Yeah.
This dude, I think it's his last year anyways, but yeah.
Yes, he was on the championship
ACL
team.
Surgery. I don't know how Villanova does it, man. And let me tell you guys, the Providence people around here, what a fan base.
I've never met anyone who went to Providence my years here.
Sensitive.
Really?
Very sensitive.
All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stackaroo?
Well, the whole David Ortiz shooting just took a weird turn. The Tampa Bay Bucks are making their season ticket holders jump through some pretty ridiculous hoops. And if you missed it, a member of the Celtics tried to give himself a nickname.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And it backfired.
All right, here are the headlines.
It's the stack.
Zolak has got his head of lettuce. He is truly on his diet.
Is that is that part of the diet thing he's doing?
He says he can eat unlimited amounts of lettuce.
Oh, well, I would think that any diet would allow that.
Which I don't want to be gross, but I just, if you ate like two heads of lettuce in a day, I don't know.
Out on lettuce.
There's got to be.
You're out on vegetables, though.
But it's like, you don't, no, I eat vegetables. You don't like cheese? I don't like lettuce.
No, lettuce like has no taste. Yet. How can you not like it?
It's water. I don't know. It's gross.
Now, is it the texture of it? Because that's the thing. It's like lettuce, why would you eat lettuce if you had to eat? There's got to be something that has the same amount of nutritional benefit that has a taste to it.
Makes me sick.
Well, the idea with the head of lettuce is not the nutritional benefit. There's zero nutritional benefit. It's just the lack of calories and probably the way your body digests it. So, yeah, I would imagine it's the same thing with celery or the same thing with like anything with no taste.
I think you guys just ever eat crap and then you finally eat something that's good for you and your body rejects it.
Yes.
That's like lettuce for me.
Well, lettuce isn't necessarily good for you, is it? It's just kind of there.
It just doesn't work.
Have you ever eaten crap?
No. I probably have, though.
You know, figuratively, sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
So, so he just... You can season... No one got it the first time. I wanted to circle back to it. Figuratively... garbage food. But he takes the half a head of lettuce and then he like douses it with vinegar and like I think he might put everything bagel stuff on it, which you know gives it a little bit of flavor. But again,
it just seems like a lot of work too. There's got to be an easier way.
Yeah, there's not eating. I just wouldn't eat. I just wouldn't eat.
Just drink water. You need to fill your stomach up. I mean, do the TB12 thing. Just drink water.
Yeah. If you drink a lot of water, it will quell your appetite. That's for sure.
I guess so. All right. Well, if you haven't been watching the Celtics lately, then you've been missing a team hell-bent on destruction.
Brown behind the screen. Brown Hart to the basket. Throws it down right-handed.
And I got your joker right here. He didn't even jump in.
All right, Cedric Maxwell doing his best with John Wallach last night, and the Celtics have been fantastic. As a matter of fact, yesterday they moved into the third spot, and I do believe, Joe Murray, correct me if I'm wrong, because the Celtics play tonight and the Sixers do not play, they have a chance to move into second place after tonight's game with a win, which
I mean, they absolutely should win. As I said, I looked at almost all the categories, and the Celtics are first in most of them. And the, I don't think there's a team that's much worse in the NBA than Oklahoma City. I think they're last in almost every category. Yep. So that should be, by the end of the day tomorrow, or tomorrow morning, rather, you should be looking at your second-place Celtics. I heard a really interesting theory, too, about the Brooklyn Nets, is that it's almost better for the Brooklyn Nets to not have home court advantage, because that means Kyrie Irving can play more games.
Yes, with the very easy to understand rules that are going on in there in New Jersey or in Brooklyn. Yes.
How funny would a series between, I mean, if the Raptors are still like hanging around, if you had a Raptors versus the Nets series, then Kyrie couldn't play at all, I believe.
No, yeah, he couldn't go to Canada.
They're 7-8 right now, but if the Celtics can get that two with 11 games to go.
Well, hang on. So could that be the play-in tournament then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
The Nets?
No, it'll be 9-10. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I mean, there's a chance that it could fall that way.
Wait, does 10 seeds make it or 8? I forget how the play-in works.
So the play-in would be between 8 and 9, right?
Oh, 8 and 9. Okay, so it'd be Charlotte, Brooklyn.
Okay, but there is a chance the Raptors
could. Oh, yeah, it could
happen. Great would that be? An entire series where you couldn't have Kyrie Irving? Oh, that would be fantastic.
And if the Raptors fell to 9, yeah, Brooklyn would be the home team.
Oh, that
team,
would be interesting to see. That
or
would be,
actually, Toronto. Either way, it would
but
be.
They can't, yeah. Kyrie, because I think that the Canada still like that, right? You like the players, if you're unvaccinated.
You're not allowed to go in if you're unvaccinated.
There you go. So he would not be able to play that entire tournament, which would be fantastic. But yesterday, you did have a guy after the game, Mr. Grant Williams, who has been pretty good. And Grant Williams yesterday apparently told Jaylen Brown that he wanted everyone to call him a certain nickname.
Grant did a great job. He wanted me to tell the media he wanted his nickname to be Batman. Now, I said, I don't know about that one, Grant. But if you play like you played today, you know, I might give you a Frank Lucas or something like that. So Grant held it down on defense. I'm proud of him.
Okay, so he wants to be called Batman. Mm. And then Jason Tatum was told during his press conference that he wanted to be called Batman, and here's Tatum's reaction.
Told Jaylen.
He wants his nickname to be Batman.
Grant wants his nickname to be
Grant Williams.
Grant. I can't understand why Grant would want to be called Batman. I'm sure I'm gonna ask him when I get on the bus, but. Grant played great tonight, but I'm going to call him Grant, not call him no damn Batman.
Okay, all right. How do you not give that guy crap for the rest of the season?
Oh, well, I mean, you have to. And you know he's a huge nerd that they give crap to anyway. He's a Magic the Gathering fan.
Well, what's more embarrassing, Grant Williams saying he wanted to be called Batman or Dwight Howard completely ripping off Shaquille O'Neal's Superman while Shaquille O'Neal was still playing?
I think Dwight Howard's because I think Grant Williams comes from a place of seeing the Batman movie about 17 times already.
just nerding out so much.
Yeah,
like
every
right.
team playing, like he has a screener of it. Every team flight, he's just like, excuse me, gentlemen, I'm going to escape to Gotham for 3 hours.
He's a young Nick Jamelli. He'll Indeed. Do anything to see the Batman movies.
Exactly. Play Operation.
Well, this is something that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have thrown out there. So, as you know, Tom Brady, of course, had one of his best seasons of his career last year, and many people thought that he would play forever. But the Buccaneers, after this whole back and forth with Tom Brady, have added some interesting requirements to their season ticket policy this offseason. Anyone who purchases a season ticket package for 2022 must commit to buying the seats for 2 seasons.
Ah, yes. Uh-huh. You'll be back when we start.
That's right. And they will be seeing 2 seasons without Tom Brady, if you believe my conspiracies. And only those with a Florida driver's license can purchase tickets in the lower bowl portion of Raymond James Stadium.
Which I'm not sure how that's legal, but sure.
Well, there's teams who do that all the time.
I know, and I don't know how that works. I don't know how that...
I mean, I know how it works. They take a look at your
address. I just don't know why, like, how that's legal for a business. Doesn't that seem like that's against some sort of civil liberty or something of that nature?
Yeah, discrimination against where you live.
Which is a very real thing.
Sure.
I mean, you can, it's, you know, the Civil War and everything. I mean, you know, it's led to bad things before.
I would think so. And maybe this will be another big uprising when they can't buy the tickets in the lower bowl.
I mean, I'll tell you what. All those good people will be flushing alligators down the toilet like it's going out of style.
Yeah, a lot of my friends who are Falcons fans are pissed this morning that they think that they did Matt Ryan wrong and they don't want Matt Ryan to play. They want him to hold out. And I'm just like, I don't know if he's really got any kind of call on this.
Yeah, he's making plenty of money, guys.
Yeah, what's the cap hit? Like $40 million or something crazy like that?
I mean, the Falcons have paid Matt Ryan plenty of money.
$49 million is the cap hit. It's like the highest cap hit in NFL history.
In the history of the NFL, and it's like, it's not like the guy's gone uncompensated. So, did you see this tweet by Will Compton?
No.
All right, he says that, remember how we were talking about how at the Michigan Pro Day that the guy got hurt and then everyone kind of stood around and they showed that video. Will Compton says a story about being a commodity. One time I got hurt during practice and at Coach Vrabel 50 didn't even move up the drill up. He just ran the next play while I was still on the ground and yelled, "We don't have time for this. Can someone who's not a pussy get in there?" I had a broken leg.
Does kind of sound like something Vrabel would say.
Yeah.
Go read the article today about Urban Meyer if you get a chance.
Well, the Urban Meyer stuff. I mean, it's like surprise he's an a-hole.
I know.
That's literally what it is. Hey, want to see even more of a bunch of an a-hole?
Yeah, like I read
this
it.
You know what this is? This is the Tiger King season 2.
Yeah.
We get it. All right? We know the guy's a total jackass.
Yeah, he came from two programs where if you're having success, you can do whatever you want. And including, you know, alleged murderers and people with gang affiliations, just welcoming them into your program. So, like at Ohio State and Florida, no one cared. He could probably behave however he wanted to behave, and no one was going to say anything about it. It's the NFL. These are grown men. These are multimillionaires. They're not putting up with that crap, and it's all going to come out.
Well, there's a crazy article in the Boston Globe about that shooting of David Ortiz back in 2019. You remember the video where the guy comes up and basically shoots him right in the back. Well, what you might not have known is during this entire time, you remember former police commissioner Ed Davis?
Yes.
Ed Davis has been working for David Ortiz to find out what actually happened and why it happened. And according to the article that Bob Holler put out there, Ortiz was targeted by drug kingpin Caesar the Abuser Peralta. As a matter of fact, do you remember when it first came out, they tried to spin it as if it was the guy that David Ortiz was with that was being targeted? But nope, according to this, they said that Ortiz denies having any more of a casual relationship with Peralta. They said, though, according to Peralta's attorney, the two men were close friends. Peralta was said to have felt disrespected by Ortiz and wanted him dead. Here's some more details for the Boston Globe. They said, quote, Ortiz in a phone call for the Dominican Republic said he was sad, confused, and all kinds of emotions when he received news that the CIA official had told him that he was being targeted. So Davis's findings contradict narratives presented by Dominican law enforcement officials. They first alleged that an unspecified person with an unknown motive placed a bounty on Ortiz. They quickly abandoned that theory, however, and chalked up the shooting to a case of mistaken identity. Do you remember that? Like it went back and forth, and then there was a report out there that there was some sort of marital relations that were involved in all of that. Now, that was not in the article. They did not mention that.
I just know if your name is the abuser, does not speak well of your innocence.
I wouldn't think so. He is in jail right now, the abuser right now. He was a fugitive from the U.S. charges and living in the Dominican Republic at the time of the shooting, so he was there. And I guess his network was raided a year later, and he was eventually captured in Colombia in 2020. He's since been extradited to Puerto Rico. But nobody knows the motive behind the shooting other than that he felt disrespected. Doesn't seem like the best group of people.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.